Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
I'm Bani Ramaru, and Night and Day is the title of that song. It is That Time.
Come and ask your questions, share your concerns, experiencing life on 657 AM.
Hi, I'm Tevin. I'm a lay counselor from SADC. How can I help you today?
I'm trying to get help, you know. I've been suffering quite a lot, you know.
Okay, no, I'm really sorry to hear that. Well, what's been going on?
I don't know what to say. I don't like to talk about my problems.
Well, let's just start with, why did you call today?
Okay, I lost my job. My boss, you know, he was sort of caught up with this corruption thing. Then I also got blamed. Since then, I can't find any work. I wish life could be fairer to people. It's affected me badly what happened, you know. I just feel this anger, this fire.
Okay. No, I can hear you feeling very angry at this moment, and there's a lot of emotions coming up. Would you mind telling me a little bit more about what's been happening?
I have nothing to do. You know, I feel useless. I can't provide for them. My wife, she doesn't even understand my explanations. I've been trying to look for work, you understand, Tevin? But there's nothing, you know. Now, you know, she's gone with the kids. I don't even know why God gave me breath to live.
No, I'm really sorry to hear that you're going through that. It sounds like it's a very difficult situation. And why exactly did your wife leave? Did something happen?
Yeah, you know, we had a fight, you know. It breaks me not to be able to provide for them. Seeing her go to work made me feel like a failure. She's just always telling me, you know, to drop off my CVs as if I'm not doing enough on my own. She makes me feel like I'm not even trying. The last time, I just lost it. I shouted, I said she must just leave if she doesn't think I'm enough of a man, you know, Tevin. So she packed up and she left, man.
No, it sounds like things have been difficult between the two of you ever since you lost your job. So how did you end up feeling after you had that fight with your wife?
Yeah, I didn't feel good. I was frustrated, but not just at her, but at the whole situation. I just didn't know how to explain that. So I just exploded, man. I could see she was scared by me, and I hate myself for that. I would never have hurt her, but my son, he saw me get so cross and started crying. Yeah, it just makes it all so worse, eh?
Sure, no, that really does sound hard. I just have to say, well done for opening up. I can see that you're reflecting on your actions, and this really does take a lot of strength. And you can't control the fact that you're going to have these kinds of thoughts, but you can control how you react to the thoughts and feelings. So what do you usually do when you start to feel angry?
To be honest, you know, I will drink, you know, to try and calm down.
Okay. And has that been helpful for you?
No. Not at all. It just makes it worse. I get so bitter and I say these things that I don't even mean.
No, it's good that you realize that alcohol hasn't been a healthy way to cope. So often people turn to alcohol as a way to try and escape or numb the feelings and thoughts. But the issue is that the feelings end up taking control of how the person acts, which just adds an extra unnecessary difficult feelings into the mix. It's really not helpful.
Yeah, I, you're right, you know, I just want to stop feeling like, I just want to take the anger away.
Of course, I understand why you're feeling this way, but I think it's really important to remember that having difficult feelings is a very normal part of life, especially when you're going through such tough times. Trying to just not have these feelings isn't really within your control. So it's better to try and shift your focus to things you can do to manage them more effectively, if that makes sense.
Manage them effectively? My brother, what do you mean there?
Okay, so for starters, it's very important to pause before reacting to how you're feeling. It's easy to say something you regret in the heat of an argument. So taking a few moments to calm down before you respond can actually help you express your concerns better.
Yeah, I hear you, but I'm not sure I can do that, you know. When I'm upset, it is very difficult for me just to calm down, especially when she's just, you know, going at me.
No, that's perfectly understandable. So if you want, we can work on some strategies now together and how you can help yourself.
Yeah, sure. Let's do that, yeah.
Okay, so one thing to do could be to try and physically remove yourself from the conversation to help you avoid saying things you may regret later, if that makes sense.
Like, what do you mean? Like, removing myself from the room?
Yes, exactly. And then before going back, you can take some time to reduce your anger levels so you can think a little bit more clearly before reacting. This can look like taking a walk, exercising, or just doing any physical activity.
So I do like running, you know, it helps me clear my head.
No, that's perfect. Running is a great way to give you a space to clear your head. In addition to that, practicing relaxation tools can also help you calm down in the moment.
Relaxation tools? Like what?
Okay, so learning how to take control of what you pay attention to can really help. So instead of just focusing on the thoughts or the situation that is fueling your anger, try and shift your focus to something that has a relaxing effect instead.
Okay, like what?
So this can look like imagining you're in a relaxed scenario or setting, or maybe just focusing on a phrase that calms you down, such as take it easy or just breathe, and then counting to 10 breaths.
Take it easy. I hope I don't have to say it out loud. You know, people will think I've lost it.
No, of course. It's just for yourself. It's just something you say in your mind. And while you're doing that, you can just focus on taking deep breaths in and out.
Okay. And then what?
Well, then once you feel calmer, you can return to the conversation.
All right. And now, what about my wife? You know, what should I do? How can I try and fix things?
So, in terms of your current situation, I think you really need to have a conversation with her. And it's really important that you are just as honest with her as you were with me today. You need to try and help her understand what led you to behave the way you did. So, explaining is the first part. Then the second part, which can be quite challenging, is actually taking accountability and apologizing for your behavior. And the last step would be to acknowledge that you need to work on how you manage your difficult emotions and how you are planning to do so.
Yeah, I know. I can try that, but, you know, what if it doesn't work?
So it does sound as though you're not the only reason for why things got so heated. So in order to work on the relationship, you may actually benefit from couples therapy, just so you get a space where you can help with how you communicate together as a couple.
Couples therapy? I don't want people knowing my business, man.
No, I understand. And it's important that we do keep things private. However, it can really help to have someone mediate the conversation between you and your wife. Just like the call we're having right now, going for counseling is confidential, and you are allowed to ask your counselor how the confidentiality works.
Okay. Maybe that I could try. You know, I could try that. But remember, I'm not working. You know, how must I pay for all of this?
So there are actually many places where you can do this for completely free of charge. And I can look for some places for you. Would you like that?
No, that would be great. Yeah, that would be good.
Awesome. And while I'm looking, can I also look for counseling or maybe psychology services for you to use personally? And even a support group where you can meet with other men just to talk about what you've been going through.
Yeah, I don't know about that, man.
Okay, well, you really have been through a difficult time, and working on yourself will also help mend your relationships.
Okay, I guess if you give me the numbers, I will think about it.
Okay, that's all I'm asking you to do. I understand that talking to a stranger can be very overwhelming, and the steps you took today shows a lot of strength.
Yeah, I was nervous to call, you know, but actually wasn't as scary like I thought. Talking, it made me feel a bit less alone in all of this.
Okay, no, I'm really glad to hear that, and I'm really glad I got to speak to you today. What you just heard was a man calling in who was struggling with his mental health and was impacting his relationships. I am Tevin, a lay counselor with the South African Depression and Anxiety Group. I help give you hope and then link you to places where you can get the help you need. Lay counselors like us are your emotional paramedics. We give you emotional first aid support. Many men in our society don't reach out for help when they are struggling, and there's many reasons for this. Often, not wanting to be seen as weak or vulnerable. The problem with this is, when they keep everything bottled up inside, it can make them feel even worse, increasing mental health issues. There are so many angry men who lose control of their behavior, impacting their relationships and others. Men, just like any other human, experience difficult emotions. Men need support in learning how to cope with them so they can express their emotions and communicate in healthier ways. Helping men learn to manage feelings like anger is vital in breaking the cycle of violence and making homes and communities safer for everyone. But the first step is reaching out for help. And there is help out there. Talk to someone. Don't sit with these thoughts alone. Whether it be a healthcare practitioner or an employee assistance practitioner, if you have one where you work, talk to a counselor or even call a mental health helpline. You are not alone.
Sure, Tavin just reiterated, you know, the conversation I had with Foster Ray last week. And the truth is, truly, truly, men don't always speak up. And joining me in this conversation to take off from where Tavin stopped, I've got on the line this afternoon, Debuho. Debuho is from SADC. Debuho Ramadiro, good afternoon and welcome to Radio Pulpit.
Afternoon, Luko, and I'll greet your listeners at Radio Pulpit.
How are you doing?
No, not too bad, not too bad.
not too bad.
Thank you for having me. It's just, a heavy topic.
It
but
is.
One that we need to unpack.
And I think it's actually perfect that I get to have it with you because you are a man yourself. Maybe let's start this conversation with me understanding why does it take so much for men to speak up?
Luko, thank you so much for that question. So I think what you're asking is very vital, and what we need to understand is that there's a lot of factors that take into consideration why men don't speak up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
There's social factors, there's how society views or what is defined as being a man, right?
Mm.
And we find ourselves in, and when we look in the context of our country, that if a man would speak about challenges that they're having, even reporting issues of maybe GBV or being bullied at work or at school, that would be deemed as a sign of complaining and being weak and not adapting to being strong. So the question is broad to say, one, when we talk about a man, what is the patriarchy that involves being a man, you know?
Mm.
And this is very unconscious from a very young age. If I may just say that, for example, that let's say you take a six-year-old girl, right?
Mm.
And then they explain to you, look, I tripped and I've hurt my knee. Our response as a father, I would say, oh, princess, or even, you know, sorry, princess, you know, that's so painful, and try to make sure that it's okay. But if it's a boy, child, that experienced the same injury, our response would be, you're a man now. You're growing up now. So this is something that is in us unconsciously when we talk to our boys and little girls. We normalize pain in boys, and then we sympathize with our little girls. This is something.
Yeah.
No, I was just saying this is something that we don't look at, you know.
Yeah.
That starts from a very young age.
You know, as you're speaking, I'm taken back to conversations my twin brother has with his son. His son is only 4 this year, turning 4 actually. And even from, I think, 2 going into 3, Yakumdu knew, Yakumdu is the son. He knew if something happens to him, his dad is going to say, make any dot. In other words, the man must toughen up. And he was so used to that, to a point where one day, I don't know what happened to his dad. I think something fell on him and he was in pain. Mm. His son looked at him and said, Dada, make any dot. It's true. So we normalize pain for the boy child or for the man, but for women, we know to actually embrace them when something happens to them.
Yeah, so we look at it in the context, which is something that I and when we say men must cry or tigers don't cry, we're not saying you must not be vulnerable.
Yeah,
because it just takes me back to when you are born. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Whether female or male. For the doctor to determine that you are alive, what do they have to do?
They must hear your cry.
They want to smack you.
And to actually, that is so true.
Even if you cry.
Even if your eyes are open to something, they need to hear you cry.
Cry. And that is the sense of saying there's life.
Sure.
So when we take it now along 12, 2 years, 3 years, we sing, I, my queen daughter, you know. And it's an unconscious thing, but not saying, look, you're in pain, my son. But you need to distinguish between pain that you're feeling and challenges that you are getting in life.
You know, oftentimes I always say, bring this argument that we need to get to a point where we truly empower men as well. Because if we're going to empower women to try and be on an equal and do it to a point where we leave the men behind, then who are we empowering them for? You know, and as I'm sitting here, we're talking, I'm thinking, what can we also do? You know, because let's think of it this way. We're not each other's enemies. This is not a gender war. And there's certainly a role as the sisters, let me put it that way, that we can also play. Because, you know, I think I had a conversation with one of our pastors recently, and he said, you know, women are good at speaking up. We talk all the time. Men then prefer to then use their strength instead. Maybe let's just from your opinion, what can we do as well as the other gender to actually make sure that we create a healthy and safe space, healthy environment and safe space for men to actually open up to us?
And, you know, it's a critical question that you're asking. And I think what is important to remember is that before any gender role, there's a human being first.
Exactly.
I think once we start understanding that, you know, concept to say that when you are talking to a man or a female, you need to understand first thing and foremost that you're speaking to another human
being. Yeah.
So if we can bring our mindset to that, we are well on our way of fighting the differences that we have as male and female, you know. Because remember, again, we also have got the other community, LGBTQI+, to factor in. So when we're talking about, you know, in this context of a man, to say, look, yes, you've got your responsibilities as a man, but when you are in pain, where do you, because remember, a lot of men don't speak up. We have this avoidance to say, look, for this, for the reason that I want to be safe, let me avoid, you know. Because if I report a case that I'm being beat up by my partner, I'm going to be turned into a joke to say, how, as a man, are you being beat up by your partner? Then we rather do what? We avoid.
Yeah. Sure. Very, very interesting. I must say, Teboho. And also, I think just lastly, Teboho, before I say goodbye to you, how can we then, like I was saying, not just as women, how can we all then learn to be vulnerable with one another? Where do we begin? Where does this journey start?
So the journey starts with, like, the platforms that you, these conversations that we're having.
Yeah.
We do a lot of, you know, outreach programs where we talk to men, but we're not inviting women in this conversation. This is where we can also start.
Yeah.
So that women can also hear for themselves what men are going through or the challenges that are facing. And vice versa, when women are having programs, it's also important for men to attend these programs. So that we stop having our programs in isolation to say, okay, this is men's conference, you know. But women need to be also invited in this and being kind to one another. I mean, the power of words is very powerful, that when you say to a man once he stopped working, for example, making reference to the clip that we were listening to, the man was just expressing as well to say, since that I've lost my job, I feel like a failure. But how do I, as your partner, give you that assurance to say, no, you lost your job, but that does not disqualify you as the head of the household, as my husband, as my father to my children. So once we start having these conversations, open and honest conversations, that's where we are going to be opening ourselves. Rather than saying, you know what, you're not working, you're not good enough, you're not man enough. So such ways, we need to be mindful of the ways that we use towards each other.
Sure. Man, this is really, really, really powerful, I must say. And I think I'm glad it's coming from a gentleman, actually. So thank you so much, Tebogo, for that. And I really pray and hope that our men are listening and that they understand it's absolutely okay to speak up.
Definitely. I always say that there's this famous quote that I love from Frederick Douglass. He says, it's easier to raise strong children than to repair broken men.
Yo. Sure. Thank you so much, Tebogo. Yo, that's a lot to chew on, actually, as we say goodbye to you. Thank you so much, and have a great afternoon, Tebogo.
Thank you so much for having me.
The views and opinions expressed in the following program or live broadcast are solely those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of Radio Pulpit. The station does not endorse or take responsibility for the content discussed during the program.
As easy as the touch of a button, the message of life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Pray, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you.
Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life. A winning team on the road to eternity.